I have a friend who is a world-renowned sports psychologist. One day, he challenged me. He said, here's a story. Here's a woman who smokes. So you tell her, there's a link between tobacco and cancer. If you keep smoking, you're going to die. Absolutely doesn't faze her. She keeps smoking. So you buy her a patch. She wears it for a few weeks. She's still smoking. So you send her to a therapy group. She comes out of the therapy group. She's still smoking. He said, now give me three words you can say to this woman, and she'll put down her cigarette. I had no idea. This puzzle was too much for me. Anybody have an answer? You are...
That's Dr. Robert Quinn, and this is the Depression Detox Show. Welcome back to the Depression Detox Show, where we share ideas and stories to help you live a happier life. I am your host, Malik Josephs. Happy Thursday. I am thankful for you joining me today as we have serial author and professor Dr. Robert Quinn making his first appearance on the show. And this has got to be one of my most favorite episodes, not only of this year, but since we've had this podcast. And I listened to about, I may have mentioned this before, but probably 8 hours on the low end and about 12 maybe 15 hours, like on the deep, deep end to listen to content a week. So I can find something that I think resonates with you guys as well as teaches me something new and allows me to grow as I listen to these clips. And the way that I know that I have like a really good clip, at least I think I do, is when I get lost in the clip. Like I don't even realize that I'm looking for content for the show. It just totally engulfs me. And this is what this clip did for me today. And I hope that this clip really resonates with you as much as it did with me. And without further ado, let's jump right in to this one as Dr. Quinn talks about leadership and how to live a purpose-driven life. Here's Dr. Quinn. Enjoy.
Let me share two stories with you. Story number one, we're interviewing one of those school teachers. She's sharing stuff and it's a really exciting interview. I'm writing stuff down and then she tells a story. She says, the first year I taught was heaven. The second year I taught was hell. I had five boys that second year, and they were incorrigible. And there was one kid in particular. He was impossible. One day, this kid's in the doorway of the classroom, and he's kicking and moving his arms and making noises, and I lost it. She said, I'm ashamed to say these words, but I walked towards that kid with the intention of kicking him. Thank heavens he got up and ran away. I kept walking. I went to the principal's office. I said, this is it. It's him or me. And the principal took the kid out. She said, I felt terrible. So I went to two of my colleagues and poured my heart out. And they said to me, you are not the key to every door. And as she said those words, she burst into tears in the interview. And we waited a long time. And then she looked up and said, I hated that. And I said, hated what? She said, those words, you can't be the key to every door. She said, So I decided to become the key to every door. She said, instead of pushing disruptive kids away, I began to seek them out. I began to bring them into my world. I read every book I could find. I kept notes. I ran experiments. I kept notes on the experiments. And then she kind of pulled herself up and said, today, I am the key to every door. When there's a disruptive, troubled kid in the school, they say, give her to Miss So-and-so. She seems to know what to do with them. That's a profoundly important story. It's a story of transformative learning. When I have a higher purpose, I find the energy and the courage to go outside my comfort zone and to learn in a deep way. And I break some code. The code can be about any part of life. And then I can do things other people can't do. Now, the second story is a lot closer to home, and I think a very helpful one. I once had a daughter. She was single. She was living in Washington, D.C. And she had reached that point in life where she said, she wasn't married yet. And she said, the only men left at my age are pigs, right? There's none, not a good man left on the earth. And then she found one, and she got really excited. Relationship grew. And then one day our phone rang. She's talking to a mother, and I know what's going on. This guy just dumped her, right? She's all upset. Her mother, now this daughter is the firstborn child. Many firstborn children share a common characteristic. If they're miserable, they want you to be miserable too, okay? And she said, I'm coming home this weekend. I thought, oh, no, no. Her mother hangs up and says, you're the father. You go to the airport and pick her up. I, oh. So the next day, I go pick her up. She gets in the car, and she doesn't say, hello, how are you? She says, that no good, dirty, da-da-da-da-da. 5 minutes later, she takes a breath. And I said, are you problem-solving or purpose-finding? She didn't even hear me. So we go through that about four times. We're finally pulling in the driveway. She takes another breath. I say it again. She says, what are you talking about? I said, well, I wrote that thing to your brother about the difference between purpose finding and problem solving. I sent you a copy. And she said, this is the real world. I said, well, I think it applies to the real world. By then we're in the house. I pull out a sheet of paper out of my file, and it says Robert Quinn, life state. So I take it, I hand it to her, she rips it out of my hand, she looks at it, and then she grows kind of quiet. And she looks up and says, when you feel bad, you read this? I said, no, when I feel bad, I rewrite it. It's been rewritten hundreds of times. She said, yeah, I can hardly understand some of this stuff. I said, yeah, it's written to a customized audience, one person. Then the first miracle happened. She said, do you think I could write one of these? And I said, I'm sure you can. She went in the bedroom. For a day and a half, she worked on her life statement. The miracle was, I did not have to suffer during that day. Right? She got on the plane. She flew home to DC. A couple days passed, I get an email. She said, he called me. Oh, this will be interesting. And she says, so I wrote him this letter. And I'm reading this letter that she's attached. It's incredibly vulnerable, open, honest. And I'm thinking, wow, this is impressive. And then at the bottom it says, and my roommate said I can't give this to him. Now that's an interesting thing. Let's freeze all the insensitive males in the room for a minute. I want to hear just from the females. Why can't we give this letter to this guy? Because he's crazy? Anybody who dumped me would be crazy. That would be true. Why else? Yes, of course. I'm vulnerable. I tell him how I really feel. I look, you know, dating's a marketplace. Right? It's a transaction. You don't tell some guy that dumped you that, you know, here's how you feel. And then she said, What my roommates don't understand is that what he thinks doesn't matter. Whoa, wait a minute. A few days ago, what he thought caused her life to shatter. Now she's saying, what he thinks doesn't matter. What is she saying? She's saying, this is who I really am. Didn't know this a while ago. Now I know it. It doesn't matter what other people think. You see, when you clarify your purpose, you take back your external locus of control where you worry about what other people think, and you take an internal locus. You don't become insensitive. You don't become rebellious. You become centered. You become powerful. Now, here's the interesting thing in the sequel to that story. In the next few months, she began to be promoted. Her career turned. Why? You know, this was a dating breakup. Why is her career taking off? Because when you find purpose and meaning in what you're doing in one area of your life, it grows in every area of life because you are one person. That company had a woman coming in with the same dresses on, body looked the same, but it wasn't the same employee. This was a woman now full of leadership for the first time. She had a higher purpose, and she was willing to take initiative that normally she wouldn't be willing to take. That's leadership. Companies desperately need it. Cultures suppress it. We're afraid to take leadership in organizations. We're afraid to tell the truth. When someone has that meaning and that integrity, things start to change. That's different than management. My message to you today is that every one of you is filled with talents and gifts. You've been shaped by life. You've had bad experiences and good experiences. And both the bad experiences and the good experiences are there to teach you something about you. And if you look very carefully at those, you can determine what your purpose is. I'll close with a puzzle. I have a friend who is a world-renowned sports psychologist. One day, he challenged me. He said, here's a story. Here's a woman who smokes. So you tell her, there's a link between tobacco and cancer. If you keep smoking, you're going to die. Absolutely doesn't faze her. She keeps smoking. So you buy her a patch. She wears it for a few weeks. She's still smoking. So you send her to a therapy group. She comes out of the therapy group. She's still smoking. He said, now give me three words you can say to this woman, and she'll put down her cigarette. I had no idea. This puzzle was too much for me. Anybody have an answer? You are pregnant. Now think about that for a second. Absolutely knows she can't stop smoking. Three words, you are pregnant. What does she have now? A purpose that's bigger than she is. The interesting thing about that story is it says we are full of resources we don't know about. They're already in there. We don't believe it. But when we suddenly find a contributive purpose, those resources become to the surface. We begin to change. In fact, we instantaneously begin to change when we embrace a purpose. I believe every person in this room can clarify the purpose of their life. And that the moment you do, this will start happening, not just at work, but in every aspect of your life. My hope is that every one of you learns to become the key to every door in whatever aspect of life you're working.
Big thanks to Dr. Robert Quinn for stopping by. And you can let me know on Instagram, hit me up with a DM, and let me know if this clip really resonated with you. I'm actually going to have, as this clip airs, I'm going to be posting a short clip of it on my Instagram, usually around 6 o'clock Eastern time. So you can check that out. And you can just shoot me a DM and let me know if this clip really resonated with you, if you really liked it. And then we can go from there. So again, big thanks to Dr. Robert Quinn for stopping by. If you'd like to connect with him, you can go to his website, robertquinn.com. His latest book is entitled The Economics of Higher Purpose, 8 Counterintuitive Steps for Creating a Purpose-Driven Organization. And if you'd like to watch today's entire talk, you can go to YouTube and type in How to Live a Purpose-Driven Life, Dr. Robert Quinn Talks at Google. And everything that I just mentioned, along with a link to today's entire talk, will be in the show description below, so you can go and check that out. All right, don't forget to follow the show, share it, or leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts. And as I mentioned earlier, you can follow me on Instagram at Depression Detox Show to see 1 minute inspirational and motivational reels of all your favorite speakers that we feature on our show. All right, that is a wrap for me. I appreciate you. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. And I will see you back here tomorrow. So until then, stay strong. Later.